You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world. Purchasing fair trade products can be a great way to go about living a more sustainable and ethical life. One person that knows this just about better than anyone is Paul Rice, president, CEO, and founder of Fair Trade USA. In today's episode, Paul and Lisa chat not just about his experience with founding Fair Trade USA, but how that organization intersects with global events. They touch on the recent farmer protests in India, how fair trade artisans have been affected by COVID-19, and of course, how we as consumers can help support fair trade workers and organizations, especially during these tumultuous times. Let's get into it.
Hello, Good Together listeners. Welcome to the new episode of our podcast. And today I'm thrilled to be talking to Paul Rice, the founder and CEO of Fair Trade USA, a true leader in the industry that, as you know, is very near and dear to my heart. So now, if you've been listening for a while to our podcast, we've talked on the podcast before about what fair trade is and its significance. But in this episode, I'd like to focus more on some current events, particularly on what's happening in India right now and what role fair trade organizations can and should, and if they should play a role in the situations and this kind of events. And of course, also give you a few sneak peeks where Paul will be sharing a few current updates on the fair trade industry too, which I'm very excited about as well. So Paul, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners? I would love to know your history. You know, you founded Fair Trade USA in 1998 after returning from an 11-year stay in Nicaragua. So that's fascinating. So tell us, what got you there?
Well, you know, I went to Nicaragua because I was interested in working with farmers and promoting sustainable agricultural development. And while I was there, I had a chance to start the first Fair Trade coffee co-op. In 1990, first co-op, fair trade co-op in Nicaragua, and mm-hmm. we were exporting to fair trade buyers in Europe who were literally paying us 10 times more for our coffee than what farmers could get in the local market. And so wow. That kind of introduced me to the power of business, responsible business, and the power of ethical sourcing as a way to help farmers and their families on a journey out of poverty. And so fair trade at the time was big in Europe, and there was not much happening in the U.S. at all. We were lagging. And so I moved back in 94 and launched Fair Trade USA in 98 with the vision of creating this certification program that we have in order to mainstream fair trade. And as you mentioned, fair trade, you've talked about fair trade in previous podcasts, and what our contribution to the fair trade movement is at Fair Trade USA, we have created the standard and the certification around that. So fair trade is both a philosophy and a movement, if you will, a movement mm-hmm. for social justice and better livelihoods and sustainability, but it's also a standard and a certification regime, which, you know, very much like organics, gives farmers and now factory owners as well a framework in which to define their journey of sustainability, to define responsible practices, and then to demonstrate that they're in compliance. So we have a 200-point checklist of social, environmental, and labor criteria. We audit and certify farms and factories every year against that standard. And so when you see that fair trade certified seal on a bag of coffee or a bunch of bananas or maybe a fleece at Patagonia, you know that those producers got a better price. They produced sustainably. They took care of their workers. They took care of the environment. And all of that is being supported through your purchase as a consumer. So really, fair trade is about harnessing the power of the market and the power of you and me as everyday consumers to change the world one cup of coffee at a time.
Exactly. That's exactly what we talk about at Brightly, right? Your power as a consumer, the conscious mm-hmm. consumerism movement, and of course, fair trade is a huge part of that. So you've mentioned Patagonia fleece. Everybody mentions Patagonia. It's an amazing brand. I just got a swimsuit from Patagonia, which has fair trade sewn label, right? So right. Tell me, how can you give us a little bit of a visual? So what process does Patagonia have to go through to get this certification? Like, does a member of your team go and actually physically visit the factory?
Yes. Yeah. So Patagonia is a great pioneer and what we call a lighthouse brand because they've made a big, bold commitment. They're mm-hmm. about 75% fair trade now across all
That's
their
amazing.
Styles.
That's amazing.
And they're
know
on
that.
The way to 100%. So a lot of companies are looking at what they're doing, and they're looking at how Patagonia is not just doing fair trade to help the workers in their supply chain, but also they're using fair trade to tell a story, to engage the consumer, and to be successful as a business. And I always like to underscore this, that fair trade is good business. It's not just good for workers and farmers. It's also good for the brands.
Absolutely.
That buy into it. So, yes, in answer to your question, we visit their factories every year. We inspect their factories. We have auditors based in the various countries around the world where we're working. And right now we're in 46 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. So that swimwear, is probably sourced from India or maybe from Vietnam. We have staff there. We have auditors there. They are both training workers and talking to workers on a regular basis about factory conditions. And then we're also auditing once a year to make sure that those factories are meeting the fair trade standard around things like worker safety and health, making sure that workers are protected, which is super important right now during COVID.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, we've just learned, in general, the public has just learned what PPE means, for personal protective equipment.
Yeah.
But in the fair trade standard, a whole section of our standard is around the requirement of factory owners and farm owners to provide personal protective equipment to their workers and then to train them in why to use it. And so fair trade became even more relevant than ever during COVID because we already had in place our protocols for training workers and farmers in things like PPE.
That's amazing to hear.
Mm-hmm. What that means is when you see that label on your swimsuit that you bought at Patagonia, what it means is two things, basically. Number one, that that factory met the fair trade standard, right? All of those safety requirements and all of those labor and environmental requirements. But then number two, it means that Patagonia agreed to pay more money. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the secret sauce of fair trade. There's a what we call the fair trade premium, which is paid by Patagonia in this case, or the brand, and which goes back to the workers in that factory. And they get to manage that fund and to invest that money in really important community investments like daycare centers. Mm-hmm. I visited one Patagonia factory in Sri Lanka that had built a daycare center, and that made it possible for young mothers to stay in the workforce, to continue working in the factory, and to leave their kids at the daycare center while they were at work. Fair trade premiums also pay for health services to workers or educational services. So the little bit, you know, maybe just a few pennies more that we pay as a consumer for a given fair trade item ends up driving significant change for the farmers and workers on the other side of the world.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so great to hear from you directly, the person who actually visited those factories and seen it with your own eyes. And especially you're talking about fair trade premium. And, you know, it's so much more important right now during the COVID crisis. And we've been talking about India. You've mentioned India, right? I'm in contact mm-hmm. with artisans there too. You know, what happened when COVID hit? You know, without, you know, fair trade organizations, you know, people are completely left on their own, right? When the orders have been stopped, you know, by big, you know, fast fashion or regular brands that are not fair trade, the workers are completely left helpless. And those kind of premium funds are basically were saving lives, right? Is that right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think we've all seen in the news just how dire the situation is right now in India with regard to runaway COVID. And, you know, it's so interesting because here in the U.S., it feels like we're turning a corner. Our economy is starting to open up again.
Exactly.
Bars and restaurants are opening up thanks to our access to the COVID vaccine. But, you know, COVID vaccine inequity around the world is such a huge problem. I mean, a friend of mine in Nicaragua died last week of COVID, right? So we kind of mm-hmm. forget, because things are better here in the U.S., that around the world, in India, in Africa, in Latin America, COVID is still raging uncontrolled, and people just don't have access to vaccines the way we do here. I heard on NPR this morning, only 2% of adults in the African continent have received even one vaccination so far. So we've got a long way to go in India and around the world. Now, I'm really proud to report that in the factories that we certify and on the farms, in the farms that we certify around the world, you know, we're working now with about 1 million, a little bit over 1 million farmers and workers in 46 countries. And the incidence of COVID among our communities is very, very low. And I attribute this, at least in part, to the fact that fair trade is already getting those farmers and those workers involved in health training and mm-hmm. safety programs and helping them get access to personal protective equipment and the training that they need to use it appropriately. So, it shows you the power of getting organized, right? Whether they're farmers or workers. Fair trade provides a context for those folks to get organized and to get trained, and that has very, very powerful health benefits. I'm really proud to report that none of our factories in India have reported a death yet among the workforce that's under fair trade certification.
That's amazing. Yeah. And again, this is just like a perfect case study for preemptive measures, right? Like education and preemptive measures and safety and exactly. health measures. That is amazing to hear.
Yeah.
So let me give a little bit of a context. You know, if you are not following the news, I know sometimes the news are just too sad and difficult to follow, obviously, but what is happening, what else is happening in India right now, right? So nearly 1 million Indians, whose primary source of livelihood is agriculture, have amassed in New Delhi, in the capital, for more than 5 months. The protests that you probably have been hearing about, they are peacefully protesting Indian government, the Indian government's move to deregulate wholesale trading. So basically what's happening, back in September of 2020, Indian government passed three new agricultural bills that deregulate and privatize India's agricultural industry. And essentially, that's what the farmers are protesting. And of course, I personally have been in India in 2019. You know, I saw the poverty level. It is quite shocking when, you know, you're up front with it. You know, we visited artisans in very remote parts of India. I mean, but even in New Delhi, in the capital, it's right in front of you. So the situation with farmers in India, right, it has never been great, right? So sometimes that they're not even, or sometimes many times they're not even able to sell their crops or, you know, tomatoes. With any profit, right? They literally, it's better for them just to throw it away instead of selling it, which kind of counterintuitive. So I know I've been talking a lot, but can you give us your perspective? What's happening in India? Like how farmers are working and kind of what fair trade is, what role fair trade is playing there right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's truly tragic to see what's happening in India from a legislative perspective. And this happens in so many countries around the world, even here in the United States. You know, when we have a bad government in power, there are all kinds of laws passed that adversely affect farmers and workers. And that's what we're seeing in India. We're seeing, you know, a very bad government that is dismantling many of the protections and regulations that were put in place over many, many years to help keep farmers afloat. And, you know, again, we see this. I mean, right now there's similar challenges in Colombia, in Ethiopia, in a lot of countries where we're working. We can see the, you know, kind of back and forth of public policy and how bad things can get when public policy goes wrong. What I want to say about that is that fair trade really doesn't do much in the realm of public policy. And that public policy work is very important. And there are great organizations out there that are lobbying the U.S. government to pressure the Indian government, or that are, you know, working through allies in India to kind of support the cause of the farmers. That work is important, but it's kind of outside of the scope of what we do in the world of fair trade certification. What we're saying is, yes, let's fight the good fight on the public policy side, but alongside that, let's create market-based approaches that can support those farmers. Right. And so that's what fair trade is all about. We're linking directly with Indian farmers. We're connecting them with some of the great brands and retailers that we work with, like Costco and Whole Foods and Safeway and even Walmart. And by creating those strong market linkages, we're able to then support farmers in India through better prices. And that's really what they need right now. They're not asking for charity. The farmers in India are just asking for a fair price for their harvest and for all the hard work. They just want to keep food on the table, right? They just want to keep their kids in school. Exactly. And so, you know, whether it's India or, you know, Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, what's known as the Northern Triangle, where we have so much outward migration, bad public policy is always a problem. But there are market-based approaches like fair trade that can at least reduce that impact and create hope for so many farmers that that have joined our movement.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I always like to say fair trade is not about charity, right? It's just about giving people access to dignified jobs and getting paid fairly, just like you and me. That's all what people want in most of the world. And this, and that's kind of why I was involved in fair trade specifically for many years, because I truly believe that fair trade and providing jobs with fair wages is the best solution to poverty. So yeah, so in India, as you've mentioned, I'll just give you a few more details about that. And then I would love to hear more about your collaborations with the brands that you've just mentioned. And again, market approaches, social business, that's again, something I very, very personally strongly believe. So in India specifically, and as you mentioned, India is just a case and kind of a country that's in the turmoil right now. But again, as you just said, it actually happens all over the world, right? So in India, under the previous laws, farmers had to sell their goods at auction at the state's Agricultural Produce Market Committee, where they were previously guaranteed to receive at least the government mandated minimum price, right? So they had some protection. But what had happened in September, three new laws initiated and rushed through by the government of Prime Minister Narendra Modi dismantled this structure, this minimum price, instead allowing farmers to sell their goods to anyone for any price, which kind of might sound good in a good situation, but it means that also there is no safety net whatsoever. And as you just said, basically with fair trade, is a solution, the marketplace approach, right? Basically, institutional governmental issues will always be there and they have to be addressed, right? As you just said, by either organizations. But what fair trade is doing is like, okay, what can we as businesses and as people can do, like almost like bypassing these governmental solutions, right? Let's just give people the means to survive in the situation.
Yeah.
So when it comes to these types of workers' rights and human rights movements, how are fair trade organizations involved? You've just said about talked about your fair trade, you say your guys' market approach. Are you familiar with like fair trade organizations on the ground in India, like the actual fair trade certified factories? What are they doing on the ground?
Well, so we're working with farmers in India that are growing tea and cotton and rice. And I actually visited a fair trade rice cooperative a few years ago in India. And, you know, what, as I mentioned a minute ago, what stands out is the fact that those farmers that are organized into cooperatives and are selling directly to international buyers, they're able to get a much, much higher price, and a much more stable trading relationship, a much more equitable trading relationship that allows them to kind of stay afloat, even as the Indian government is dismantling laws and kind of removing the safety net, right? That's one way to look at what is happening right now, is that the farmers in India had a safety net, and that's being removed. And by the way, here in the U.S., our farmers have all kinds of subsidies and safety nets, right? So, you know, the notion that governments and public policy have a role to play in keeping farmers alive and keeping food growing, right? Like, this is a commonly accepted concept that we implement here in the U.S. as well. So it's really quite negative and backwards that the Indian government right now is kind of tearing out this support that Indian farmers have enjoyed. What we see, though, is that at least with those farmers that are fair trade certified and selling in a more direct way, they're getting a better price and they're staying afloat. And you know, and even with the pressure of COVID, which has kind of wreaked havoc on supply chains worldwide. You know, it's disrupted transportation. It's made labor scarce in many countries. And so in spite of all that, we're actually really gratified to see that both on the farms where we work as well as in the factories, because we work in apparel and home goods factories in India as well. And we're just seeing them do really well despite all these adverse circumstances.
That's huge. Yeah, I have like some data from earlier in May. So as of May 5th, India had 3.6 million active cases. From what I've been following like recently, I don't think the situation has improved still. So, you know, the fact what you've said, you know, thank God you had no deaths in any of the factories that you're working in India. that already proves so much, because unfortunately the devastation in that huge country, right? The population is, I believe, about 2 billion people there, right? If I'm not mistaken. You know, the fact that, you know, you have this positive news, that's huge. And again, shows the importance of the fair trade work outside of COVID, in the pre-COVID era, but it's just highlighted how important really is that, you know, during crisis like COVID. So let's talk about more positive things, right? So you've mentioned, you know, Costco, Walmart, other brands. So tell me, you know, at Brightly, we always love talking about, you know, being imperfectly sustainable. And we apply that to both us as consumers, you know, sustainability is a journey. It's not a, it's not a destination, right? So we also like being kind to big box corporations, right? We love celebrating their small steps if they're taken in the right direction too. Yeah. So tell us, and this, again, these corporations have massive, massive impact. So tell us how they, some of these companies work with you guys.
Hey, Lisa, did you know that every year 10 billion disposable razors are thrown into trash around the world? I never thought about the amount of waste I was generating every time I shaved my legs.
Yes, I remember we've discovered this staggering fact last year, and ever since then, me and you have been on the hunt for a sustainable plastic-free razor.
The tricky part for me, though, and I know a lot of our community members feel the same way, is that safety razors can be very intimidating to use. I was literally scared when I first shaved with a safety razor.
Same, but we finally found the perfect option, haven't we? Leaf Shave has created the world's first multi-blade pivoting head safety razor that makes your shaving experience almost identical to the one with a plastic razor.
Leaf Shave is certified carbon neutral, and they package and ship 100% plastic free as well. My favorite part about their Leaf razor is that it accepts up to 3 blades so that you can decide how close of a shave you want. Once you're done with the blades, you can send them back to Leaf to recycle responsibly as scrap metal.
This makes shaving plastic free easier, safer, and faster than I've ever experienced. But if, unlike us, you're a total pro and not intimidated by safety razors, Leaf also has a more budget-friendly option, their Twig razor. Check it out.
Good Together listeners get 5% off by using the code BRIGHTLY at leafshave.com/brightly. That's leafshave.com/brightly. Finding a trusted ethical beauty brand that actually works can be difficult.
Absolutely, which is why Laura and I were so excited when we discovered 100% Pure.
100% Pure is a beauty and skincare brand that is, well, as the name suggests, 100% pure.
All of their products, from lipsticks to face masks to eye cream, adhere to strict purity standards and will never contain harsh or toxic ingredients.
What I thought was really cool, Lisa, was how they create the pigment for their makeup using natural ingredients. They use fruit, vegetables, and even tea and cocoa. I've never seen a product that does that.
Yeah, I haven't either, and I've looked at a lot of clean beauty brands recently. Also, when you shop with 100% Pure, you're able to choose one of the two options for where you can make a difference. One option is choosing to donate one bowl of vegan dog food to a shelter dog for every purchase. Since 100% Pure is certified cruelty-free, I love how committed they are to animal welfare by giving you this option.
The other option you can choose is to have 100% Pure donate one tree for every order. If you'd like to try out 100% Pure's cruelty-free products, head to 100%pure.com and use code BRIGHTLYISPURE30 for 30% off. That's 100%PERCENTPURE.com and code BRIGHTLYISPURE for 30% off.
Look, I started Fairtrade USA 22 years ago, and when we started, and for many years, this notion that American consumers would pay a few cents more for a product that helped some farmer on the other side of the world, that was seen as crazy talk. I mean, we had so many companies in the late 90s and early 2000s, we had so many companies slam the door in our face, basically, and say, you're crazy, fair trade will never work in the U.S., maybe it'll work over there in Europe, but it's not going to take hold here. And so what we saw then over time was at first mission-driven brands. They tended to be smaller brands that were really anchored in a social and environmental mission, and that saw business as a vehicle for serving the greater good, mm-hmm. right? As well as generating wealth for shareholders. Those early pioneers of what you might call the conscious capitalism movement, those early pioneers were the first adopters of fair trade here in this country. And they proved that fair trade could work as a business model, right? Yes. Not just as a way to transfer wealth or improve conditions for farmers and workers around the world, but also as a business model here in the US. And it was really because ordinary consumers like you and me were seeing the fair trade label out there, buying the product and rewarding those companies. So early on, we signed up, companies like Equal Exchange. And, yes. And then we got to work with bigger companies like Ben and Jerry's and Honest Tea. And then when we started with apparel, we signed up Prana and Patagonia. And so those were kind of the pioneers.
Yes.
But then gradually mainstream retailers started to take notice. And they, in turn, have also started to worry more about supply chain issues, either because they don't want to be kind of caught up in a supply chain scandal like the Rana Plaza collapse a few years ago, or because they actually see that a strong supply chain leads to a stronger business. And that's what, frankly, that's what inspires me these days, is to see kind of mainstream capitalists, if you will, the leaders of companies like Costco and Walmart and Safeway, and obviously Whole Foods, they're a pioneer. Mm-hmm. But to see the leaders of these companies realize that through more ethical sourcing, more sustainable sourcing practices, they can not only take care of the people and the environment in the communities where they source, but they also build a better business. So, let me share a couple of really exciting things that are happening. Number one, we're seeing the migration of fair trade products from some of the higher end brands and retailers to more mass market brands and retailers. So, for example, with apparel, with clothing, we started with Prana and Patagonia, but now we're working with brands like J. Crew and Gap. Mm-hmm. J. Crew just made a big, bold commitment to go 100% fair trade on all their blue jeans.
That's amazing.
Over the next few years, 100% fair trade on all their cashmere, 100% fair trade on all their chinos. So if you like Madewell, that's part of the J. Crew company. I mean, here's a company that arguably is much more mainstream and is embracing fair trade and making a big, bold commitment. But then even more exciting is that we now have fair trade blue jeans at Target.
Yes.
For $29.95.
Can you explain to me? I've seen those jeans. So how does the pricing work? Can you break it down for me? Because, first of all, it's amazing and it's so important, as you're mentioning. Someone who's been in fair trade industry for a while, one of my passions is always like, how can we make, again, living sustainably and also buying fair trade more affordable for everyone, truly? And this $29 price, you really can't argue. So can you break down the price for me, if you can, if that's not like a trade secret or something?
No, not at all. I mean, the reality is that the premium that the brands pay, whether it's Patagonia or Target or anyone else, the premium that they pay for apparel is only around 2% of the export price. So mm-hmm. it's a very small markup, for the brand. But what that translates into is hundreds of thousands of dollars each year going back to every factory for the workers to manage and to invest in various community projects like health, education, clean water, daycare, and so on. So, for us as a consumer, we don't really see the difference. It's such a small percentage of the total price. So it is possible for a company like Target to source blue jeans from obviously a very efficient and productive factory overseas, and pay that fair trade premium and still deliver that product at an affordable price to U.S. consumers. This is so exciting to me because you know, I think one of the critiques of fair trade, or at least one of the comments that we've heard made about fair trade in the past is, oh, well, yeah, you can get that at Whole Foods or you can get it at Patagonia, but I can't afford to shop
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
So what about me? And so to see fair trade products, and by the way, Target not only has fair trade blue jeans, they have a great lineup of fair trade coffee and tea
yes.
and other products. And similarly, like at Safeway, you know, we have fair trade tomatoes and other produce items. Safeway made a big commitment to go 100% fair trade on all of their own brand coffee recently.
Mm-hmm.
We just launched a new program with Walmart. So Walmart is introducing fair trade tomatoes. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think this year Walmart will become the number one retailer of fair trade tomatoes in the world. And
wow.
so that's benefiting literally thousands and thousands of farm workers and their families who are now getting better conditions, better wages, and a premium that they can invest in their community. So, you know, we don't really associate big companies like Target or Walmart with fair trade. But for me, I'm very encouraged by this. And, you know, obviously fair trade is not like B Corp, right? B Corp is a standard that assesses all the practices of the entire company. We
yes.
don't do that. We're not
mm-hmm.
certifying the company. We're not certifying Target or Walmart or Patagonia. We're not certifying the company as an entity itself. What we're certifying is the terms of trade with the farmers and workers that they're buying from. And so that fair trade label is your reassurance as a consumer that the farmer didn't get screwed, right?
Yeah.
That the worker and the farmer were taken care of and they got a better deal. And so why not have that product available everywhere, right? From Target and Walmart to Whole Foods and Costco, right? That's what we want. We want fair trade to be available to any and every consumer wherever they shop.
100% agree with you. Actually, we do a lot of TikToks and Instagram posts about, you know, living sustainably. And one of the things that are constantly always the most popular videos for us is, you know, showcasing sustainable fair trade, clean beauty, what have you, products in these big chain stores. Because
right.
again, we understand that we need to be realistic with everyone because
yeah.
not everyone even lives next to Whole Foods, right? We're
yeah.
pretty fortunate here in the Bay Area, but guess
yeah.
what? Bro, I don't have the exact percentage, but I would say 90% or whatever. You know, most Americans live next to Walmart. So
yeah.
the fact that, you know, they can buy fair trade items in Walmart is huge. I don't shop often in Target, but even by going there like once a year or a couple of times a year,
mm-hmm.
I can already see the difference in how many more sustainable and fair trade options they have. And again,
right.
as just you were saying, I also personally was so excited to see, again, fair trade, sustainable living, just going into masses. And it's all thanks to you as consumers, right?
Yeah.
Who voted with your dollars to this original and supported this original, as you said, lighthouse businesses like Patagonia.
Yes.
And that's exactly why this change has happened. So that's amazing.
So do you want to hear?
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear
yes,
the latest,
please.
The
yeah.
latest new announcement? I'm so excited about this. I have to share. So, you know, the dairy industry is one of these industries that is constantly under pressure with market prices low and farmers struggling to survive, and so farm workers, being at risk. The cows themselves being at risk, the environmental impact. I mean, dairy is a great industry for fair trade to be because
yeah.
of all the social and environmental issues there. So we were invited to come into the dairy industry and develop a standard for fair trade there. And over the last 2 years, we've been developing that standard, consulting with the stakeholders. We just launched the very first fair trade dairy product with Chobani yogurt now on the shelf with the fair trade label on it. And I'm just so proud of this partnership. I actually was in New York last week and had a meeting with Hamdi Ulukaya, who's the founder
mm-hmm.
and CEO of Chobani. And he is such a visionary. He's such a righteous leader. He is so firmly committed to business with purpose. and to use the chobani as an instrument for supporting workers, for improving the environment, for providing jobs to refugees, and other really important social issues. And so I'm so excited because now, you know, you and I can support those farmers and farm workers in the dairy sector through our purchases of chobani yogurt. And obviously, we're not going to stop with chobani. We're now pitching Danon, and we're pitching Starbucks and companies that use just milk. Mm-hmm. We think that this could be a huge program, and it speaks to the expansion of fair trade here in the U.S., right? Yeah. So historically, we were focused on helping impoverished farmers and workers overseas in Africa and Latin America and Asia. Mm-hmm. But now we're bringing fair trade home. We're certifying farms
That's
and factories
amazing.
Here in the United States and addressing, you know, the many of the same issues, right, in terms of worker safety and health and wages. So I'm just really proud to be now certifying U.S. agriculture and to be in partnership with Chobani on the dairy initiative.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we always kind of think as fair trade is like an international issue, right? Somewhere not here. But it's great that you're bringing it home. And again, dairy, as you just said, it's such a big industry and so much potential for change there in many ways. Yeah. Okay. Well, any other exciting news or... you shared so many great things that I was not even aware of.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really fun to see the rollout of fair trade fruits and vegetables, and these are being sourced both from Latin America as well as from here in the United States. So this is a big growth area, and it's helping a lot of farm workers. And their families. You'll find fair trade produce at Whole Foods, of course, but also at Costco.
Yeah.
And now at Walmart and Kroger and Safeway. So, you know, I think many people, their first association with fair trade is coffee, right? Because that was what
Absolutely.
We started with.
Absolutely. Exactly.
20 years ago, we started with coffee. And, you know, I worked with coffee farmers in Nicaragua, so I had a personal passion for coffee. And so a lot of our focus in that first decade was around tackling poverty in the coffee industry and really trying to build those bridges of partnership between farmers and brands in coffee. But today, fair trade is so many other products, and fruits and vegetables, fresh produce is right now the fastest growing segment of the fair trade market. And I'm just so excited about that because I think consumers are concerned about health and wellness. They want to know that their produce is safe and healthy, but they're also asking questions about, you know, is there child labor involved in my produce
Exactly.
and environmental destruction? And so fair trade provides that assurance that, you know, when you buy a fair trade banana or tomato or pineapple or any other product, you know that product was grown sustainably and that the workers and farmers were taken care of.
That's great. No, and very good to know, which I didn't realize how much of an expansion. I kind of see it as a consumer, you know, in the grocery aisle. I'm seeing more and more fair trade labels, but that's great that, you know, obviously you have the data, you know what's going on. That's great. So last couple of questions of our episode. As you know, we always like to kind of leave our listeners with inspiration and a few actionable things that they can do, right? Mm. I know it's pretty obvious, right? How can they support farmers and fair trade producers in India and around the world?
Well, you know, obviously, my theory of change is around conscious consumption. And
of course,
I think that starts with each of us developing some mindfulness and some intentionality around what we eat. You know, so often when we eat, we're just eating to fuel our bodies, and we're not stopping to think about the coffee growing family that's living at the bottom of our coffee cup. We're not stopping to think about the hands that picked the blueberries that we're having in our morning
breakfast.
And so just slowing down, just slowing down in our acts of consumption to reflect for just a second on the families who put their hearts and souls into growing the food that keeps us alive. And then thinking empathetically about, wow, does that family make enough money to live a decent living and to keep their kids in school and to have hope for their future? That act of intentionality and of empathy is the beginning of change, right? Because once you're there, then as a consumer, you start to think about, should I be looking for organic? Should I be looking for fair trade? Should I be looking for non-GMO? And that will lead us, I think, on a path where our everyday purchasing decisions can have such a tremendous impact in a positive way on the world.
100% agree. Exactly. I mean, I was obviously going to say, search out the fair trade certified, you know, logo for a certified product. But again, the first step, as you've mentioned, just slow down, right? Just think about it. And that's all we ask. That's such a huge, important step on the way to becoming a conscious consumer, at least a more conscious consumer. Yeah. And so finally, what are one or two ways that you try to live sustainably in your own life? Can it be anything, whether it has to do with food and your morning breakfast or anything else?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. So, I mean, obviously, I buy fair trade products as much as I can. And, you know, it's impossible to be 100% fair trade right now.
Of course.
Right? There isn't a fair trade version of everything that we might eat or buy. So I don't want people to feel guilty or beat themselves up because they, you know, don't find fair trade and so they buy non-fair trade. But when you can, when you see that label, you know, if you choose that fair trade label, you know you're making a better choice. You know you're helping people and you're helping the environment. So for me, in my personal practice, number one, I buy fair trade and organic always, every time I can. Number two, you know, obviously I'm very conscientious about recycling. I take energy conservation very seriously. I compost my scraps. Like I'm doing all the little things, which I think
if
the people, we all do it together, it adds up and amounts to big change. You know, my life journey has been all about making people's lives better and alleviating poverty and restoring hope to hardworking farmers around the world. But I have to say, more recently, I've begun to think a lot more about environmental stewardship and climate change, and the two are so closely connected, right? The livelihoods of people and the health of the planet and the climate are all so inextricably connected. And so we promote sustainable agriculture, we promote reforestation through the Fair Trade Standard, but I'm starting to think increasingly about other ways that I can help build this bridge between social and environmental sustainability, because I really do believe that they go together. And to the extent that we can advocate for both, we're going to quite possibly survive what otherwise could be a really challenging future for the planet.
100% agree. Yeah, I feel like almost in every episode, we kind of end up talking about all of the different aspects of sustainability, because as you just said, you know, all of these things, you know, fair trade, human rights, but also environmental issues and climate change, they're also interconnected. So it is important to think about this as a whole. Well, Paul, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. I'm so glad we've had time for this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing this amazing fair trade news. I'm really excited to share it with our audience. And we are looking forward to learning more about all the other programs and things that Fairtrade USA will do to really change the world for the better for both our planet and the workers around the world.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. And I'm just so grateful to you for everything that you're doing through this podcast to enable people to change the world. And, you know, simple everyday ways to change the world, that's what we need. And so I just love that you all are sharing the voices that you're sharing. You're doing such great work. And a big shout out to you and also to all of your listeners.
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thanks for joining us
on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.